Good morning and welcome. Once again, I offer my sincere appreciation to you for your coming out and being here with us today. We do have a number of visitors. We're very grateful for your coming, and we're glad to see you, but we're especially glad that you have come to worship the Lord. As we strive together to be pleasing in His sight, this is one of the most important things that we can do, is to gather together on the first day of the week to worship God in heaven. And I thank you for being here. Your interest in spiritual things is commendable, and I hope that as we progress through the lesson this morning, that you will be benefited by what we're going to talk about. If you'll be turning to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, Mac read from the book of Philippians in chapter 4, but in so doing, we also made a point there, or he did, in regards to this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 18, we have been talking about the verses that precede this, the verses that have to do with putting on the whole armor, the complete armor of God. Just a part of it won't do. It takes the whole armor of God. But realizing that, we also need to understand that this is all that we need in order to defeat the devil. We are in a battle, and the Apostle Paul is completing here the armor of God, that imagery that he has been using by instructing individuals to keep alert with prayer. We've been talking about walking worthily of the vocation wherewith we've been called. Realizing that we're going to need all the help that we can get, if you will, and realizing that the best help that we can get comes from above, this is where we need to focus our attention. We may not realize that this is part of the armor that the Christian is supposed to be wearing, but it is a most vital part of it. Paul has pictured our walk with God here as that warfare against the devil. And in verse 12, Paul said that we are struggling, we're wrestling, we're battling against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Just think about the times when you might have wanted to flee away, to get away from the situation in your life at the moment when things were not going as well as you thought they could be. And in fact, when things were just downright difficult to deal with. And it seemed that they were getting the best of us. We think about God in times like that. And we often go to God in prayer when times are very difficult to deal with. He wants us to go to Him in prayer all of the time. He wants us to be connected with Him vitally in prayer, because prayer is our lifeline. And so as Paul has pictured our walk here with God as this kind of warfare, that it is a spiritual kind of warfare. It is the warfare that's taking place primarily in the mind. The devil is doing everything that he can in order to win us to his allegiance. God, on the other hand, wants us to follow him, and he certainly knows what's best for us. And he has given us the equipment, the armor, if you will, to enable us to stand against the onslaught of the devil. And this thing, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That is just a most vital part of this kind of armor that God is talking about here. Now, in verse 18, he says it this way, in the ESV, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul understood very well the importance of prayer, and he's trying to communicate this to the Christians that he's speaking to. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. I'm in chains because of the mystery of the gospel that I proclaim to you. This is why I'm in prison. But I need boldness, and I need to be able to declare this message boldly. And that's exactly what Paul did wherever he was. Whether it was in prison or whether he was traveling around the country, Paul was proclaiming the message boldly. We must stand firm against the enemy's schemes. Prayer is one of the things that can help us do that. Therefore, this armor of God is what we need. And so the Apostle Paul is teaching us about this armor that is given to us by God so that we're able to stand against these attacks that the devil wages against us. These spiritual forces of evil that he talks about here, it is absolutely vital that we depend upon God to help us in this. Now, thus far, we've seen that the armor given to us is the truth, righteousness, readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and sword of the Spirit. If you notice in those verses, they're in chapter 6. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. Stand, having your loins girded about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and what? Pray on my behalf. That's the way Paul points out the importance of what we're doing here. Now, prayer is that critical line of communication. We're in the midst of this battle. We're trying to exist on this battlefield. And too often, I think we miss the purpose of prayer. We don't realize how important prayer is, that it is something that should be constant in our life. And the reason why that we miss this purpose in prayer is that we fail to see that this is a spiritual battle, that this is a battle for our souls. This is the very battle for our spiritual life. And prayer is not the means, on the other hand, of receiving some kind of goodies from God. We don't command God to bestow a particular blessing at a particular time, not on ourselves, nor on anyone else. Instead, it's the lifeline that's needed to survive the attack of the devil. God is the one who's in control here. We need to have the kind of reverence and respect for Him that goes with His position in the world and in all things. This is the idea of praying, not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is the lifeline that's needed, as we said, to survive the attack. Instead, when we talk about surviving that attack, in the world today, we talk about surviving attacks, but we're not talking about the same things, are we? We're talking about physical warfare. And that's what Paul is using as a figure for the kind of battle that we're engaged in that's really spiritual. He wants us to understand that. We must be dependent upon God. But a life that's dependent on God is prayer is essential to being able to stand here in the faith. If we're going to stand firm, this is what we have to understand. Back in Proverbs, the name of the Lord, the wise man said, is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. It's the picture of a man running into something in order to be safe. For example, the storms that we see around us. We want to get in a safe place, don't we? That's what the Lord is picturing here, but He's asking people to come to Him, to run to Him. He is the one who will enable us to survive the storms of life. It is our lifeline. It is what keeps us alive with God. Prayer is how we communicate to our homeland. Where is our citizenship anyway? Are we thinking about that? Or are we thinking more about what's going on in this world? It's important that we focus on the things that are above. This is what God wants us to understand. This is where the Father lives. And Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He'll come again and receive us unto Himself, John tells us. This is how we communicate with our Father. You remember when Jesus was about to encounter that excruciating suffering on the cross? What did He do? He spent a lot of time in Gethsemane, didn't He? He spent time there praying. And He spent His final free moments there in prayer before they came to arrest Him. Prayer is that great tool that's given us by the Lord for being able to stand in this life. That's why Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Verse 18. One of the things you notice about this is he says to pray comprehensively. We need to understand about prayer. Four times you may have noticed this in reading these verses. If you didn't notice it, you might want to kind of highlight or underline the words all there. Four times he uses that word all. First of all, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now think about what he's saying here. When should we pray? I know that a lot of times we forget to pray. We sing a song about that, don't you? Don't we? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Do we address God in the morning when we first get up, when we first arise? What about when we go to bed at night? And do we keep that line open, in other words, all through the day? That's what he's talking about here. Paul is introducing the necessity of prayer. And you'll notice that that key word there in verse 18, is the word all. And so Paul is teaching us to pray comprehensively. And I want us to examine these four different aspects. But first of all, think about Acts 2 and verse 42. One of the first things those disciples were instructed in was to devote themselves to things like prayer, to breaking of bread and prayer, to fellowship, to the apostles' teaching. All of these things are important. No doubt about that. But prayer is our lifeline. So Paul says, we need to pray all of the time. Prayer is also a lifestyle. This is something that is a part of the Christian's makeup. And we need to realize just how important this is. Several times through the Scriptures, Paul emphasizes that matter of prayer. Romans 12, for example, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, but be constant in prayer. Constant in prayer. In Philippians 4, where Mac read this morning, he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and pray, 1 Thessalonians 5, without ceasing. All of those verses coming together here are telling us something. Constantly, Paul is instructing these believers in his letters that they needed to continue in prayer. So as I said, prayer is a lifestyle. It is not merely a moment in time for a kind of a quick hit conversation with the Lord. Instead, we are in regular thoughts and words to the Lord throughout the day. He wants to hear from us. We're on this spiritual battlefield and we need to be talking to our commander, to our king. He's the one who's leading us. He's the one who's been here and done it, as we say. He's the one who knows how to fight the devil. And so constancy in prayer is not talking about just these things that are so unimportant to us, and it's not talking to God just whenever it's something that we think we want or we need, or whenever especially that we feel like we want something. We need time to know God fully, and we need to draw close to God. That's what this is about. That's what we are to understand about praying in the Spirit here. What we need to develop in every one of our hearts and lives is a disposition of heart and mind that is always attuned to our head, to our King, the one who is our Savior. We need to be attuned to His Spirit and what His Spirit is telling us. Well, we know what that is because we've got his revelation right here. These are the words of the Spirit. Remember that sword of the Spirit that we talked about, which is the Word of God? Our mindset and our mind center is on his Word. So I want us to think about this concept for a moment. We need to be praying for God's direction and God's way all of the time. But the only way we're going to know that way is if we open the book and learn it. God wants us to talk to Him. God delights in His people having conversations with Him. Can you imagine if your children only talked to you when they wanted something? Now sometimes I'm sure parents experience that. But that's kind of sad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have a vital relationship with your children, just as you have with God. Can you think about the fact that you never have any conversation with your children unless they're asking you for something? That's not good, is it? That's not what you want as a family, as a parent. God certainly doesn't want that. You talk about a dysfunctional relationship, that's what that is. It's just not working. And how can it be that we can go for hours and days and weeks and months or even years, and yet we don't say anything to God? We're not talking to our Father. He has been privileged to offer us the means to become His children, and yet we won't talk to Him. We can be called sons and daughters of God. And even then, sometimes when we do talk to Him, the only time is when we have a problem. As far as it goes, the rest of the time, we think we've got it covered and we don't need any communication with God. Prayer is a conversation with the Father. This is how we pray at all times. God is inviting us to have a conversation with Him. He is giving us the line of communication for this spiritual battle where God hears our prayers and He gives us the strength that we need. We delight, or we should delight, in entering the presence of God through prayer, and God delights in coming into His presence in this manner. It is an amazing picture here that God has given us and enables us to be strengthened through the power of His might. It's like one person said, prayer is that energy that enables that Christian soldier to wear the armor and to wield the sword. We cannot fight the battle on our own power. It doesn't matter how strong or how talented we may think that we are. We were talking about some Old Testament characters this morning. We mentioned the nation of Amalek. When Amalek attacked Israel, what did Moses do? He went up on top of the mountain, while Joshua used the sword down in the valley. Can you imagine what Moses was doing? It took both of them to defeat Amalek. Moses' intercession on the mountain and Joshua's use of the sword in the valley. Prayer's the power for victory, but not just any kind of victory. The kind of victory God wants us to have. And Paul tells us how to pray if we would defeat Satan. Another thing he talks about, one of these words all, is to pray with all prayer. Now this is an interesting statement. Constancy in prayer, you may want to notice, is not talking to God only when we want something. I hope you noticed how important that little word all is as you see it working its way through here. Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, God says to let our requests go up to Him. Are we doing that? Isn't it time to launch our prayers to God? What are we praying about? We pray all kinds of prayers, don't we? For the Christian, any time is the right time to pray. Praying at all times in the Spirit, that's what we're doing. We're praying thanks. We're praying about our needs. We're praying for strength. We're praying blessings. We're praying for help. We're praying for others. All of these things are what He's talking about here. We're not just talking to God. We're talking about everything that's going on in our lives. There is nothing that's mundane as concerns His children to Him. So He's asking us to launch our prayers up to Him. There's nothing God doesn't want to hear about in your life. He's concerned about you. And the amazing thing is we can move the hand of the sovereign God through prayer. All through the Scriptures, we see people able to stand because of prayer. They're moving God through prayer. Whether you're talking about Abraham or Moses that we just mentioned or Hezekiah, we see God responding to prayer. God is telling them to launch their prayers up to Him, to pray, to talk to Him, explain the situation, seek help. There is nothing too small for the hand of the Lord. Constancy in prayer is not talking to God only when we want something. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And stay alert, he says, with all perseverance. Keep alert. Stay alert. Keep alert reminds us of something here. In chapter 18 of the book of Luke, Jesus told a parable about a widow who was seeking legal protection. And one of the first things he says to his disciples before he issues that little parable is they ought to always pray and not to faint or to lose heart. Always pray and not lose heart. Now think about what he just said. The concern is that we sometimes stop being diligent, vigilant in our prayers. And so we pray for a while and then we stop. We forget about it. We get involved with so many other things going on that we just can't seem to find the time. But Jesus is saying, you don't do that. There is nothing more important than your prayers to God. That's why you pray without ceasing and you don't lose heart when you pray. Pray always, obviously, does not mean always saying prayers. That's not what this is about. We are not heard, for our much speaking. This was what Jesus said to those Pharisees in Matthew 6 and verse 7. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, when he says pray without ceasing, all he's saying is to always be in communication with the Lord. Keep the receiver off the hook, in other words. Keep the prayer lines open. Never have to say when you pray, Lord, we come into your presence, because you never should have left his presence. A Christian must pray always, because he's always subject to temptations. He's always subject to the attacks of the devil. How many times has a surprise attack caught somebody off guard, cause them to be lost? Pray without ceasing. Why do we need perseverance in prayer? Why do we need to pray always and to not lose heart? This is a concern for us. For there to be this concern means that there is something that could happen that could cause us to lose heart, could cause us to stop being steadfast in our prayers. I think the problem is sometimes that when we pray, we don't think we got an immediate answer. And so we decide, well, the Lord's just not listening to us. He's not paying much attention to us. He really has so much more on his mind, he doesn't have time for me. If every time I prayed and the answer was given to me instantly, I wouldn't have to worry here about losing perseverance in prayer, would I? The issue is that this is not how prayer operates. It's not how God operates. That's one thing we have to learn. But we live in this instant society. We open the microwave, throw in a bag, and just a minute, here comes popcorn. That's not the way we talk about prayers when we concern ourselves with God. The concern for not losing heart here means that we are needing to pray, and that we are going to get delayed answers, and that sometimes we're going to get negative responses. And that's why James tells us to pray trusting God. Pray in faith. This is the prayer of faith that we offer up to God, knowing that God knows how to answer the prayer far better than we can. He even knows what we need, regardless of what we've asked for. And if we depend on Him to answer it that way, we're far better off in the long run, aren't we? But no, we get to where we just can't wait. We need an answer now. That's like saying, give me patience right now. Yeah, it doesn't work, does it? Well, we need to dig up and get used to. Dig in and get used to this matter of prayer. Make it a part of our daily lives. We tend to let up in prayer because we don't see these immediate answers and these responses. Or at least we don't think so. Jesus and Paul are instructing us not to do this, to not let up, keeping alert in this spiritual battle with all prayer and all perseverance. Persist in prayer to overcome discouragement and hardships and suffering. Stay in prayer. Don't let up. Don't give up on prayer. Keep alert with the Lord with a constancy in prayer. And pray for everyone. Pray for all of the family of God. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul says that our prayers should be for all the family of God. He wants us to pray for the entirety of the Lord's people. God tells us to make requests on behalf of each other. You know, one of the most wonderful things is to know that believers are praying for you. That there are people who trust in God, they open their hearts to God, and to know that they are praying for you. They're praying on your behalf. That's what supplications are all about. You know, we have a prayer list, and we must be persevering in our prayers one for another. This is how God wants us to be, and it's a natural outgrowth of the concern that we have for one another, of being brothers and sisters in Christ. We have people who are under the attack of the devil. We all are, aren't we? That we can count on, and we need help. We have people who need strength. We all do. We need exhorting. We need encouraging. We need all of these things to enable us to stand. So we talk to God on our behalf. We talk to God on everyone else's behalf. Which means something too. It means that we need to tell each other about the prayers that we need. The things that we need prayers for in our life. That's what Paul's doing rather here in verse 19. And also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That mystery is now being revealed, and that's what Paul's wanting. He wants to be able to continue to reveal that mystery. This message of salvation is going out to the entire world. Paul asked these Ephesians Christians to pray for him. He needs boldness, and he needs boldness to proclaim that gospel message. He needs it because he's in prison. He needs them to call on God in his behalf. And you'll notice he doesn't ask them to pray that he can escape. He doesn't ask them to pray that he can get out of this. He asks them that he may be given boldness to proclaim the message. And that's exactly what he did. He taught the whole Praetorian Guard, didn't he? This is the kind of man Paul was. We must be willing to open our lives to each other and let others know what we need prayers for. Paul asked these Christians to pray for him. We ought to be grateful today and do the same thing. I am grateful for so many of you and the sharing of your lives and the fact that you've asked me or others to pray for you, and that we have been able to return that, to ask you to pray. We're not alone in this. We are here for each other. And God is there for all of us. So pray for the family of God. Tell each other what we need as prayers in our lives. These are the four alls of prayer that Paul has been instructing us in. As he said, pray all at all times, with all kinds of prayer, keeping alert in prayer with all perseverance, and praying for each other as we walk with our Lord and we stand against the attacks of the devil. You see, prayer no longer becomes a mere habit or a discipline of the Christian faith that people talk about when you see how Paul describes it here in connection with the armor of God. This is part of that armor. We should not overlook that. This is our communication line to our Father in the midst of the battle. We need to make time today, every day, when you speak to your Father about these things in your life. Keep those communications line open. Make today the time when you'll do that. And don't stop. Once you start it, it's something you need. It is something that is so important. You know, there's something wrong with children who don't speak to their parents about their daily lives. We recognize that. Well, what about us? You know, as I said before, God chose you. He chose us. He chose anyone who would submit his mind or her mind to the will of God. God is always inviting you to come into a vital relationship with him so you can have this kind of communication with God. This is a privilege that not everyone has, but yet it's offered to everyone. And he has called you his sons and his daughters. He has offered to forgive you. He's offered to give you an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that does not fade away in heaven. The offering is there. But what do you have to do? You have to humble your hearts to him, don't you? God is always interested in you. And the Almighty Sovereign God listens and he acts on behalf of his people. He wants you to talk with him. He wants you to pray. A good example of this is in Acts chapter 8. There was a man in Samaria named Simon. And he saw the things that that evangelist was able to do. And then when apostles were sent down there and the Holy Spirit was imparted to those individuals, he saw that and he wanted to buy that gift. But his heart wasn't right. And so they said to him, repent and pray. Repent and pray that if possible the intention of your heart be forgiven you. Do you have a heart today that will humble itself to God? Is your mind receptive to the word of truth? You recognize how important it is to have this link with God? There's nothing else like it. This is something God makes available for everyone who will listen. For everyone who will obey him. Obey him from the heart and turn their lives over to him and just listen to what he says. And then do that in their lives. He wants you to turn your life around. He wants you to not live the way you used to live, the ways of the world and so on that overwhelmed you. He wants you to put that aside. He wants you to become a new creature. Put off that old man and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be an individual who is repenting of that old way of life, changing it. Realizing the new way, the right way, is with God. Following in the footsteps of Jesus. Confessing him as Lord and Master of your life. Demonstrating your willingness to follow him. As Samuel did this morning as we were talking about, just speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Because he wanted to do the Lord's bidding. That's what should be in our heart today. Wanting to do the Lord's bidding. Recognizing Him as Lord, He wants you to be baptized into this vital relationship with Him for the remission of your sins, and you can rise to walk in this new life. And if you stray, just like with this man Simon who had obeyed the gospel, if you stray away, if you do something you're not supposed to do, repent and seek God's forgiveness and pray that if possible, the intentions of your heart will be forgiven. The lesson is yours. What will you do about your relationship with God? Paul emphasizes how important this prayer is. But you know, he's not the first one. Bill mentioned this from Psalms chapter 5 Wednesday night. I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch or look up. Is this the way you feel about the Lord? Is this the way you conduct your days on this earth? Eagerly watching, conversing with the Lord, striving each day to become more and more the person He wants you to become. Submit your will to His. Come as we stand and as we sing.